Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
How many of you have heard of the koan, Nansen kills the cat? How many of you have a cat? Now, Nansen kills the cat is a famous Zen koan, and it's found in three different books of koans, the Blue Cliff Record, the Book of Equanimity, and the Gateless Gate. And the one I'm going to read is from the Gateless Gate. Case 14. Once the monks of the Eastern and Western Zen halls in Master Nansen's temple were quarreling about a cat. Nansen held up the cat and said, "You monks, if one of you can say a word, I will spare the cat. If one of you will say a word, I will spare the cat. If you can't say anything, I will put it to the sword. In some interpretations, I will cut it in half." No one could answer. So Nansen finally cut the cat in half. In the evening, when Joshu returned, Nansen told him what happened. And Joshu was also eventually another famous Zen master. Joshu thereupon took off his sandals, put them on his head, and walked off. Nansen said, "If you had been there, I could have spared the cat." Now, this koan is a very grave matter and shocking. And we know, what is the first precept of the 10 grave precepts? Non-killing. It's living a life of non-killing. And not just non-killing in terms of taking a life, but killing our life. Killing somebody else by the way in which we treat them. So this is, of course, well, they're all important, but in terms of this koan, that first precept of non-killing is very important. And so here's Nansen, a famous Zen teacher that is venerated in the Zen tradition. And yet, in order to make a point, he holds up a cat and cuts it in two. So did he violate the first precept? Let's see. So what were the monks doing, right? They were arguing, the East Hall and the West Hall, yelling perhaps at each other. You know, what could they be arguing about? Well, maybe Hall has the most deeply enlightened monks. Or maybe arguing about women, lay people, should not be allowed in the temple to be monks. Or which hall is the best hall of the two. You know, whatever it was, there was this argument going on about this and that. So what was going on here? This and that. We could say that the monks were already killing the cat, even before Nansen came on the scene. This or that, better or worse. So what's happening here? The monks are making two, and they are missing the true nature of reality. One or two. This or that, better or worse, these are created by the mind. And duality is created by the mind. So the monks were already killing the cat by their arguing. In a sense, we could say the cat was already cut in two. So did Nansen really kill the cat? Or did he just threaten to kill the cat to point out the grave danger of making two, creating separation? Is the main obstacle to realizing our true nature, to realizing our basic oneness. So the monks were really missing the truth of that. They were caught up. They were attached to this and that. So the cat, which is our true nature, is being cut in two. It's being having the life taken out of it. So it's the attachment, right? There is good and bad in the world. There is a Plymouth, I don't know, making them anymore, but a Ford and a Chevy, a truck and a car, a tall building and no building, right? The key here is getting attached to one side or the other, not seeing that one side or the other are the same thing. So these monks were attached to one side versus another side. And in that sense, they were cutting the cat in two. And then the second part of the koan is Joshu comes along, and he takes off his sandals, and he places them on his head. And Nansen tells him, "If you had been there, I would have not had to cut the cat in half." So what was Joshu expressing? He takes the sandals off his feet and puts them on his head. And we all know that sandals don't belong on our head. They belong on our feet. So what's he doing? He's pointing out, if the monks are listening, that taking the sandals off his feet and putting on their head is challenging their thinking. Right? Who says the sandals have to remain on the feet? Who says you can't put the sandals on their head? They don't belong there. They belong on the feet, right? That's getting caught in duality, right? It's supposed to be a particular way. Sandals on the feet, not on the head. And Joshu confronts that way of thinking. So have any of you ever put your sandals on your head? I suggest that when you go home today, take your sandals or your shoes and place them on your head and see what that experience is like. See if you think, this is crazy. What the hell is he talking about? Not, you know, put shoes on the head. Oh, my shoes are dirty. They belong on my, right? All of that is created by the mind, and it's conflict. So this koan is about freedom. It's about being free of our ideas about the way in which reality works. Just attached to one side of reality, the dual side of reality. And when we let go of that, life becomes much more fluid. And we become free of our thinking. So the bottom line is, this koan is teaching us, how do we be free? So as I say at the end of most talks, most teachings, it's not good enough to understand this. It's not good enough to go to Daisan 6 months and then all of a sudden, I get it. It's not good enough to live in a monastery and know the truth of this or having experienced the truth of this. It's of no value if you can't leave the temple. I'm saying this metaphorically. If you can't leave the temple and go out in the world and live your life based on this experience of making two, of seeing the trouble that the mind makes in our daily life. So if any group and society within families, amongst friends, there are always different kinds of friction. So the question is, do we handle this friction from the perspective of oneness or two-ness? Which allows the more effective way for resolution? On my mother's side, there's a big family, and her sister had, five children. So they're her children, and then they have children, and so they're grandchildren, and even some great-grandchildren. So I would say about 50 people each summer get together to have a picnic, sort of a family get-together. People who don't live locally all come for this picnic. So back in March, I called my Aunt Roz, and I asked her, I said, when is the picnic? And she said, oh, Carl, it's terrible. I say, what? We're not going to have the picnic. And I said, why? And she said, well, some families are Trump families and some families are hate Trump families. And so there are arguments between everybody. And now there's no picnic. So I thought about this. And if we're going to split the cat in two and we're going to hold to, it's either this or that. We're going to have a family that's broken up. If we saw, or if the family saw, that beyond these distinctions, it was one family. And in one family, people can have differences, but it doesn't have to bring around separation. It's only if we cling to this and that, to that kind of separation, that the problem arises. And it's more likely in a family if the basis of the relationship is love and not hatred, then it's much more likely that the family will stay together in harmony, including the differences. We'd be able to talk about this to each other without getting filled with anger or hatred or pushing the person that disagrees with us away. And it doesn't mean that one side condescends to the other because they have the truth. That's a wrong way to approach it. Again, that's a this and that way. I have the truth. You don't have the truth. So in our politics, we have opinions about what's going on. And the basis of this is usually hatred and anger and right or wrong. Now, we all have to make decisions about what is better to preserve life, what is better to have a more harmonious country, a country that lives in more touch with the unity that we have underneath all these intense differences. So one of the things that I would say is that we as a country, we as individuals here, have to stop cutting the cat in two. And we've seen this from Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Thich Nhat Hanh, a whole succession of people, that love is a better way to work with these differences than hatred. It's not that we don't see that the environment is being ruined. It's not that we don't see that our relationship with each other is based on hatred, is based on values that we don't agree with, I would say generally. But if we take it up from a place of hatred, I think that we maintain the fundamental separation that creates that hatred. So in terms of working to deal with this, that's what I tell myself. So how many of you have killed a cat? Raise your hand. Now, by the way, just to end, the idea of killing a cat was a metaphor, right? It raises intense emotions when you hear about a cat being killed. So it really grabs your attention. And it also, it's a grave situation if we imagine that some guy's going to cut a poor cat in two. So it's a way of demonstrating the importance of what happens in our lives if we make two. So the cat's okay. Nansen did not really kill the cat. So he's a good Zen master. Thank you.